Welcome to More Than Medicine, where Jesus is more than enough for the ills that plague our culture and our country. Hosted by author and physician Dr. Robert Jackson and his wife Carlotta and daughter Hannah Miller. So listen up, because the doctor is in.
Welcome to More Than Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Jackson, bringing to you biblical insights and stories from the country doctor's rusty, dusty scrapbook. Well, I'm privileged once again to have as my guest Alex Newman. Alex was with me about a month ago, and I invited him to come back specifically to talk about central bank digital currency. Now, if you're like me, you don't know a whole lot about CBDC. In fact, what I know would fill about half of a thimble. And so I've asked Alex to come back and give us a good education. So, Alex, welcome to More Than Medicine.
Well, it's a pleasure and an honor to be here. Thank you very much for having me, Dr. Jackson.
All right. Now, first of all, I want you to tell my listeners a little bit about your various platforms. I know that you have multiple programs every week where they can go and listen to you pontificate every week about all manner of issues. So if you would, tell them a little bit about your various platforms.
Well, thank you. Happy to do it. So once a week, I do a nationally syndicated radio program for the New American Magazine, a great publication where I serve as senior editor. We divide that up into two segments. We've got the first two segments are Behind the Deep State, and typically that's me on a monologue about some deep state related issue. I've done several issues on central bank digital currencies and other things that are tied into that. And then usually the second two segments, which is the second half of the program, I'll interview some expert or somebody who has something important to say about that particular issue. And so we combine those two together. That's called Conversations That Matter. Now, we put them on the internet separately. People can find them at thenewamerican.com in a video format. But they go out every week, every weekend, actually on Saturday, over AM, FM radio all across the country. And then I also do a daily TV program. It's for Lindale TV, for Frank Speech, but that gets picked up by seven or eight other broadcast networks, the Blessed News Network, the Brighteon Network, the Active Kingdom Entertainment Network. Lots of other networks pick it up, and then a lot of AM, FM radio stations as well. And that's called The Sentinel Report. And the easiest place to catch that is either at frankspeech.com or at my website, libertysentinel.org.
I got you. All right, well, let's jump in and talk about CBDC and help my people understand what that all means. And, you know, I was reading somewhere a couple months ago that there are like 20-some different countries that have their own government or national bank-approved national digital currency. Is that correct? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, and the number is growing very rapidly. In fact, about 100 miles off the coast from where I'm sitting right now in the Bahamas, they've already introduced theirs. They call it the sand dollar. According to the Bank for International Settlements, which is leading this process, about 95% of all the governments and central banks in the world are working on or have already deployed their central bank digital currency. And, of course, here in the United States, the Federal Reserve is working on that. They're already creating the architecture. At the same time, the International Monetary Fund and the Bank for International Settlements are working on the international CBDC platform, and they're talking about this quite openly. And so a little bit of background for people who aren't familiar with a central bank digital currency. They want you to think that it's just kind of a digital version of cash, that it will work similarly, et cetera. But when they think you're not paying attention, they're much more honest about what this means. First of all, it's an entirely different form of money. Instead of having it deposited in a normal bank account, it'll be directly tied to the central bank. Second of all, it's all digital, and therefore there is a record of every transaction that happens. In other words, if we move away from cash, which is their ultimate objective, every single thing, good or service, that is bought or sold, that transaction will be permanently recorded for perusal and examination by the government, by the big corporations, by the big banks. And of course, all of it will be data mined. All of it will be processed through the algorithms and the artificial intelligence to come up with basically a perfect picture of you, who you are, what you do, etc. And there's even one more nefarious element to it that's not getting talked about much, but that is very, very real and very, very dangerous. And that is the element of programmability. They want these digital currencies to be programmable in that they can determine who can use them, how they can be used, when they can be used, what they can be used on. And then eventually that'll be, as in China, tied to your social credit score, where every person, eventually their goal is to have every person on the planet have a particular score based on a number of different factors. In China, it's based on how good of a slave you are, basically. If you ask too many questions, if you post criticism of the government, your score drops to nothing. And so that's the direction they're moving. It is basically the most powerful tool of totalitarian control yet devised by man, with the possible exception of the government school system. And it is being rolled out all over the world as we speak, even though it's not getting nearly enough attention from the media.
My goodness. Well, sounds like Revelation chapter 12, doesn't it?
Yep. Revelation chapter 13 describes a system where this global system will be able to prevent every person on earth from buying or selling if they won't take a particular mark. Now, I don't know exactly what that mark's going to look like. I don't know what it is. A lot of people have suggested it may be a microchip. And by the way, they are already in Sweden and other countries installing microchips under people's skin that they are using to pay for their goods and services. They're using it as their ID. They're using it as their wallet for their central bank digital currencies. They're using it as their keys for their car and their office. So this is being rolled out as we speak. And Klaus Schwab, who's the founder of the World Economic Forum, in addition to Great Reset, which he released right at the height of the pandemic madness in 2020, he released another book called The Fourth Industrial Revolution that deals very extensively with the digitization of just about everything, very much including currencies. And he says that when we get to the end of this, you're going to see a fusion of our digital and our biological identities. And so I don't know, again, exactly what the Mark of the Beast will look like. I imagine 2,000 years ago when Revelation was written, a lot of this idea that some system would be able to prevent you from buying or selling, it probably sounded pretty ridiculous, Doctor. But today we see the architecture being built all around us to make that a reality, potentially within the next few years.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been reading about these European countries that are trying to tie their vaccine passport to their digital ID. And, you know, it's not far-fetched at all to try to connect the dots and realize that a vaccine passport and a digital ID and then your financial information could all be tied together very neatly. And then all of a sudden, you know, if you don't want to take, say, a COVID vaccine or some other vaccine, well, then you could be penalized easily and your financial account could be closed. And, you know, that would be a horrible scenario for an individual who understood the danger, say, of a certain vaccine, but then because they were opposed to the vaccine and declined, well, then their financial account would be closed out. And, you know, that scenario could easily be envisioned.
Yeah, and that's happening already now. One of the doctors who lives close to me who is very active in criticizing the COVID injections and a whole lot of other aspects of establishment medicine today, his name is Dr. Mercola, Dr. Joseph Mercola. He actually had all of his bank accounts shut down, not just his personal and his corporate bank accounts, but even the bank accounts of his associates, the bank accounts of his family members were shut down after he was identified as a spreader of disinformation by the fake media. So this is happening now when we still have the ability to remove our money from the bank and, in a worst case scenario, you know, take it out in cash and put it under our mattress or put it in the sock drawer or bury it in the backyard. What do we think they're going to do to us once we have no option to do that? And so people need to really be paying attention here. The totalitarian implications of this are hard to overstate. This will give them, in the words of the general manager of the Bank for International Settlements, absolute control. That's no exaggeration. If you anger them in some way, if you won't take the COVID injection, if you won't take booster number, what are they on, 87, 88, 89, I lost track, you may find yourself unable to buy or sell. And it's a very, very real prospect. The people who are designing these systems are fairly open about them. The Biden administration put out a policy document last year where they also called for the CBDCs to facilitate social justice, environmental priorities, racial equity, things like this. So they're going to be used for social engineering. You can be almost sure that they will be programmed to engineer what we can do, where we can go, what we can buy, etc. And of course, they will be used eventually to punish anybody who dissents from this system, who speaks out against this system. And once we no longer have cash available to us as an option for conducting business, for buying and selling, for commerce, the ability of people to resist this evil is going to be severely constrained. So it is absolutely imperative that people get themselves familiar with all of this. And I believe it's also imperative that people get involved in this. We must speak out against this. This is an evil agenda, and we must, and I repeat, we must speak out and resist.
Well, Alex, I've heard talk about FedNow and our own government and the Federal Reserve's attempt to create a central bank digital currency in our United States. How far along is that, and where are they in that process?
So the FedNow is a critical component of the architecture that makes up the central bank digital currencies. It's basically best understood, I think, as the network through which CBDC transactions will take place. It's not the CBDC itself. It's basically the system needed to make CBDCs possible. And so that is well underway. Now, the Federal Reserve has tried to say, oh, we're not going to do a CBDC. We're just exploring the options. We're just thinking about it. We're just coming up with possible ideas. But Congressman Tom Emmer just released a document just a few days ago from the Federal Reserve that listed, in their view, their key priorities, what they needed to be working on, and their key responsibilities. And on that list was central bank digital currency. They are absolutely moving ahead with this. And in fact, during the height of the pandemic, COVID pandemic, Democrats twice tried to sneak language into that stimulus bill that would have created a digital dollar. They wanted your stimulus money to be paid to you in digital dollars in a digital wallet held with a Federal Reserve bank. So this is an agenda that's been on the horizon for a while. Again, it hasn't been implemented yet in the United States, but all angles of government, the U.S. Treasury is working on it, the White House is working on it, the Federal Reserve, which is kind of a government private banking cartel, all of these are working on the infrastructure, all of them are working on the mechanics of it. And I suspect when a crisis comes, and I don't know what kind of crisis that might be, some sort of cyber attack, some sort of financial collapse, some sort of collapse of the dollar, the banking system, I don't know, they will respond by announcing central bank digital currencies in an app that people will have to download on their smartphones.
Hmm. Well, now, is there any will amongst any of our congressmen or senators to oppose this?
Well, we have seen a lot of opposition. Now, to be clear, this hasn't yet become a public issue. The Cato Institute actually commissioned a poll, and they found that only about 1 in 4 Americans had even heard of a central bank digital currency. So the overwhelming majority of Americans have no idea what this issue even is. And yet we've still seen a lot of pretty significant moves to stop this. So we saw a bill pass out of, I believe it was the Financial Services Committee in the House, banning central bank digital currencies. My home state of Florida has actually banned in law central bank digital currencies, and a number of other states are moving in that direction as well. So it's very encouraging to see the opposition that we're seeing. Of course, Florida by itself is not going to be able to stop central bank digital currencies, but if we had 25, 30, 35 states saying, no, we don't want this, it would certainly be a lot more difficult for the Federal Reserve and the Biden administration to impose this on us.
Well, then what are your suggestions that we, state-level action is always an important place to start. What should we be doing at the state level?
Well, there's a lot that can be done at the state level, and I've talked with and worked with a lot of legislators on these issues, including here in my home state of Florida. One very easy thing to do if you live in a Republican state is make sure that gold and silver are considered legal tender at the state level. Now, we've had many, many states pass these kinds of bills in recent years, and I think we'll see many more states doing that. It gives us an alternative to operating within the system if and when a central bank digital currency comes. Another important thing for states to do is just to ban it. One thing that the Uniform Law Commission is doing is asking state governments to update the Uniform Commercial Code and to redefine money in a way that would include central bank digital currencies. So first of all, tell your legislators not to do that. In South Dakota, the governor actually vetoed the bill that would have done that. So there's a lot we can do even just to prevent central bank digital currencies from being considered money at the state level. And then there's a very interesting effort in Texas that is taking root in other states. I actually talked to, on my show for The New American, I interviewed the treasurer of Utah, Marlo Oaks, and he was very much in favor of this idea as well. Creating a bank or a depository at the state level. So Texas has already done this. They call it the Texas Gold Bullion Depository. And what it is it's a facility owned and operated by the state that allows you to put your gold there. And so there's legislation in Texas right now being pursued that would instruct this depository to set up a system whereby people could trade, they could buy and sell using the gold and silver they have in the bullion depository without the merchants even knowing about it. So this bullion depository would issue you a debit card that would have your gold account connected to it. And if you go to the store and buy something, you could pay in gold. And that merchant would end up just getting dollars. So that transaction would take place, your gold would be sold, and that would be turned into dollars. So so these are really, really good ideas that ought to be explored. I've interviewed the legislators behind that in Texas, and they tell me that there's a very, very good chance that that passes in the next session. I suspect they're correct as public pressure increases. And I think this is a good model for other states to consider as well. There's no reason in the world why states shouldn't be making contingency plans for these types of issues. South Carolina, Oklahoma, Florida, Texas, South Dakota, North Dakota, these are good states to do this because we've got relatively conservative voter bases and a relatively conservative legislatures and governors.
I love that idea. I'm just intrigued. You have to hook me up with somebody in Texas that I can interview for my podcast so that we can explore that in South Carolina.
Happy to do it. Kevin Freeman is one of the leaders of this movement. He wrote a book recently called Pirate Money, which is very good. And he's got a lot of insight on these issues. He's working with a lot of legislators, and he's been traveling all over the country talking to legislators about this, doing really, really important work. So,
say his name again.
Kevin Freeman.
Kevin Freeman. Okay. Well, that's powerful. I'd really like to get a hold of him, and maybe you can hook me up with him.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, we got about 2 to 3 more minutes. You got any closing comments you'd like to make about central bank digital currency?
Well, I would just urge everybody to be thinking about this, be doing what you can to use cash to avoid the businesses that hate you that are working toward this objective. And I highly encourage people to try to purchase food from local farmers. If you've got a local rancher that you can get meat from, if you've got a local farmer that you can get eggs and vegetables and milk and butter from, start doing that. If you don't, go find some, go to a farmer's market. There are a lot of struggling farmers, and the more we can do business with our local communities, with local people, the better off we're going to be in the days ahead. I would also, again, urge people to stop shopping with businesses that won't take cash. There are more and more of them, and we need to avoid them as much as we can to send a really strong market signal. Involved politically, I would highly recommend people get involved with the John Birch Society. This is one of the few organizations that's really been leading the charge on this issue, and not just this issue, but so many others that are existential threats to our freedom. So I would encourage people to get involved somewhere, run for office or support somebody running for office. Just get involved and let's push back the evildoers. Let's expose their evil deeds and prepare for all the different schemes that they are ready to unleash on us so that, we can take proper care of our families in the days ahead.
I hear you. All right. Tell my listeners again about your different platforms before we close out. I want them to know how they can hear you each week.
Well, I appreciate it, Dr. Jackson. So people can find me at thenewamerican.com. We do my show Behind the Deep State and my show Conversations That Matter can be found there, and also a lot of my articles. My personal website is libertysentinel.org. Sentinel is spelled S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L.org. People can sign up for my free newsletter, and people can watch my daily TV show. It's called The Sentinel Report. It goes out through there. And then I'm on X. If people use Twitter, you can follow me at alexnewman_JOU. And thanks again for having me on the program. I really appreciate it, Doctor.
Well, I'm always glad to have you, Alex. You are a fountain of information, and I always appreciate your perspective, and I appreciate your input. And I'll have you back again sometime in the future. You can count on that.
Thank you so much.
All right. Tell all your family, hey, and tell them I appreciate them sharing you with me for this little bit of time.
I will absolutely do that. Thanks again, Dr. Jackson. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. You're listening to More Than Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Jackson. My guest today is Alex Newman, and our topic has been central bank digital currency. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to this edition of More Than Medicine. For more information about the Jackson Family Ministry, Dr. Jackson's books, or to schedule a speaking engagement, go to their Facebook page, Instagram, or their webpage at jacksonfamilyministry.com. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Production at bobsloan.com.